Dear congregation, with the help of the Lord, I preach the word of God this evening from Revelation 22. I read one verse as text verse for the sermon, verse 17. Revelation 22, verse 17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The title of the sermon is A Last Call. 3 points. First point, to come. The second point, to be thirsty. And the third point, the water of life. So the title of the sermon is A Last Call. 3 points, to come, to be thirsty, and the water of life. Congregation, it happens in the summertime when it's nice outside, in the evening the children play outside, and the mother has been calling them. Children, it might have happened to you, and your mother called, but it was so nice to be outside, and you wanted to play, so you continued to play. And she called you a second time, and a third time. And then after some time, she said, John, Peter, Mary, this is the last time that I call you. Last call. And you are aware, this is serious. I really have to come now, otherwise I'm in real trouble. In this last chapter of the Bible, we read a call. We read verse 17. There are four invitations in this text verse. Come, 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 and take. A last call. At the last night of the year. Well, what kind of a call is this? We read in verse 12, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. And verse 20, he which testified these things said, surely I come quickly. So that's about the Lord Jesus, that he is coming. He who came the first time in this world, weak, as a little child, he will come again. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. It's an expression of desire for the coming of Christ. It's an answer to his promise, I come quickly. And my reward is with me. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the Bride of Christ, the Church, they say, come. So there is a desire for that great day that Christ will return. Is there? Is there a desire in your heart for the return of Christ? A question to all the children of God. Is there a strong desire in your heart that Christ will return? Oh, could it be today? Is that a thought in our mind when we rise in the morning for a new day? Would this be the day that Christ will return? And I will see him like he is. Is there a thought in our mind when we go to sleep in the evening, at the end of the day, we think, maybe Christ will return this night? Do you ever think that? Do you have that desire in your heart? Can you think about a bride? I would not have a desire that the bridegroom will come. that the day of the wedding will be there? And you'd say, well, not sure if this is probably not good. Not sure if you're ready to marry. If there's no desire in your heart, how can it be that there is a child of God without a strong desire in the heart for the return of Christ? There are so many reasons to have a desire that Christ will come. And maybe you say, well, yeah, I know it's true, but, you know, I would like to see the birth of my grandchild. I would like to see the marriage of my child. There's something great going to happen in my life, and I would like to experience that. If we say that, if we think that, then we do not understand what we say, because there's nothing greater than that glorious day that Christ will return. Every joy, every great experience in this world is nothing compared to that great joy of seeing Christ in glory. Oh, child of God, if you would think about all the joyful experience that you have had in this life by the work of the Spirit in your heart, those times that word became powerful in your soul and that the Lord brought deep consolation to your heart by the knowledge of Christ, those times that the Lord was shining in your heart and gave you a strong and firm hope in a future prepared for those that fear the Lord, those times that you have experienced a wonderful unity of communion of the saints with others that believe in Christ, that know Him as their Savior, those times that you have experienced that unity with the Savior Himself at the Lord's table or afterwards, or if you would add all those situations, those sweet and full and deep experiences, if you would add them, oh, to see Christ like He is much more overflowing, full, without lacking anything. Would you not desire for that day? And remember, there will be no sin anymore. Sin brings sadness and sorrow to my heart. It's causing a separation between Christ and my soul, and it will not be there anymore. Sin brings restlessness in my heart, and it's taking away the experience of the comfort, the nearness of Christ. Sin brings darkness and fear. There will be no sin anymore, no tears. Would you not desire for that great day that Christ will come, that you will see Him like He is, He who is God and man? He will come physically, in glory. You will know Him like you have known Him by faith, but then in a perfect way. Would you not desire for that day? There will be no death anymore. When Christ has returned, there will be no unrighteousness, nothing that hurts anymore. No, only full of joy, peace, the harmony of heaven. And maybe you say, yes, but I have a question. Yes, I pray for that great day, do you? I hope you do. We should. We should pray more for that great day. And there's an important other reason to pray for that day. Think about the reality that God is dishonored in this world every moment by all the sins that we do as mankind in this world against our Creator. And to think about that God is this honor that hurts the heart of a child of God. Like a child will be hurt when they speak bad about your father. You get angry. You shouldn't do that because you love your father. And so all the sin in this world, dishonoring God, it will be over when Christ returns. There was someone who had a question. He said, yeah, maybe it's your question. You think about that great day. It's a glorious day. And by the grace of the Lord, I can say, that for me it's the day of full deliverance, to be delivered forever, with body and soul, all sin and misery. But what about my children? Some of them are unconverted. What about relatives that do not know the Lord? I have a hard time to pray about it. It's so difficult for me to think about a day and to know that my children live with a guilt that is not paid for by the blood of Christ. At least they are not reconciled to God. By faith, how can I pray for the day? It will be a terrible day for them. Oh, it hurts if I think about it, that the children I love so much would be lost. How can I pray? How can I desire that a day will come soon? Well, we do get an answer here. If you read this verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. It's the Holy Spirit making us saying, come. Making us to have that desire in our hearts. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And there it doesn't stop. It says, and let him that is athirst come. So here, there's like a change. Or you could even understand these words in two ways. It's about the desire that Christ will come. But in this same verse, there's also the desire that sinners will come to Christ while it's still the time of grace. Let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. So, to pray that Christ will return doesn't exclude. To pray that the Lord will save your children, your relatives, those that are unconverted. No, those two things should include each other. The Lord is so mighty to do both, even in a short time, to change the hearts of your beloved ones that are without Christ, to draw them to this Savior, and to fulfill the day that Christ will return. You desire both. Pray for both, so that the Lord may do the one and the other. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. Him that is athirst. What does that mean, to be athirst? Well, we know what it means. You probably all have experienced what it means to be athirst. If you have a day in summertime, it's hot, and you had to work, and you lack of water, you're so thirsty. You want water, cool and fresh, so that you can drink. Let him that is athirst come. So we do know what it is to be thirsty. Your mouth is dry, your body is crying for water. You need water, and when you get it, oh, you drink. And it gives you new strength, new life, you could say. Well, but here it's used in a spiritual way. It's not about drinking water for your body, but it's an illustration that we find regularly in Scripture, that we use this picture of thirst for the situation of our heart, our soul. We find it in the Psalms, Psalm 42, Psalm 63, all those many verses, Isaiah, all those verses speaking about thirst and water in a spiritual way. We remember that the Lord Jesus did it in John 4 to the Samaritan woman, that he was speaking about water, living water, that he could provide. So it says here, let him that is athirst come. We shouldn't think about a literal thirst, a physical thirst of our body. But we should think about a thirst of the soul. Oh, what is that? What is the thirst of your soul, your heart? What does it mean, children? Do you understand that? Well, we all do understand what it means, that we have a deep desire for something in our lives. There's something we want. There's a deep desire in our hearts to receive something. And we all do have hearts that are thirsty. I'm not saying that we all thirst in the right way, that we all have a desire in the right way, but we all have a deep void, an emptiness in our hearts, because we have lost paradise. We have lost that communion with our Creator, with God, like Adam and Eve had it in paradise before they fell in sin. We are created for God. We are created for, with the purpose that we would live in communion with our Creator. And there is an awareness of that created in us. That's why we see mankind everywhere in this world trying to find someone or something higher, spiritual, above us. There is an awareness, there is an experience of that we are created for God. But we have turned away from God. We have broken that relation. There's a gap that we cannot bridge. And so we try to fill that void with anything that we can find in this world. People make images, idols. People try to satisfy their heart with the things of this world. If you think for a while about what you can see everywhere in this world and this society, you will see that it is so true that people are busy to try to find fulfillment for their hearts. They cannot find it. They drink alcohol. They have to drink more because afterwards they feel more miserable. They use drugs. They want to have money. They want to have power. They want to have glory. And they want more and more. It's crazy. Millions and billions. And it's never enough. It cannot satisfy our hearts. There is a deep thirst in our heart. Is that your experience? Are you aware of that? That we need to know God. To fill that void in our hearts. Let him that is athirst come. Oh, what an invitation. The Lord is calling. Come. Let him that is athirst come. There is water. There is living water in Christ. So living water is an illustration of the saving work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in the beginning of this chapter, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. A river, a pure river of water of life. The Lord Jesus speaking about living water. So what is that living water? Well, in the Bible, that's water that is pure and fresh and providing life. If you drink it, you can live. You need it. You can do for some time without food, but you cannot do for long without water. You need water. Living water is water that is pure and fresh. At the other side, you have water that is in a place where it doesn't move, and it's dirty, it's muddy, and it's even dangerous to drink it. And if you think about what sin is, it's like such water. It's like the salt water of the sea. It will make you more thirsty. It can even kill you. You will drink more of it and more, and you deceive yourself. You think that that can solve the thirst of your soul. You need living water. You think about it, river of water, pure and full. You can also think about the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 47, where the water is coming from the temple, from the threshold of the temple, and it becomes a stream, a river, and it goes to the Dead Sea. And this water is changing the whole situation of the Dead Sea. There was no life before the water came there. But then it's changing. There's fish. There's abundance of life. So Christ is providing what we need for our soul. Let him that is athirst come. And before you would drink from that water, there was death. Afterwards, there's life. There's fruit. There's hope. There's a change of your heart because of the work of the Spirit in your life. You got to know the Lord Jesus. So it's for people that are athirst. You shouldn't make it a condition in the way that you say, okay, I can only come if I'm thirsty enough, if I have a certain measure of thirst. You would understand that in a way that you say, I'm only allowed to come to Christ if I experience enough of my misery and my sin. Because it says, let him that is athirst come. You know, and I don't have enough sorrow about my sin. I don't see my sin enough. I don't see my depravity deep enough. So this is not for me. Well, that's really not a way that we should understand the word. That's against the word of God. If we understand this verse in that way, we really make a mistake. Because then we put a condition at our side, as if we, by fulfilling that condition, would make ourselves good enough to come to Christ. And that's not the gospel. That's not the word of God. If we would have to fulfill a condition, we would have something in our hands to feel, now I have something that makes me fit to come to Christ. No, that's not the gospel. That's not the word of God. That's a lie of Satan. As if we can make ourselves fit to come to Christ. But maybe you say, well, but does the word not say those that are not sick will not come to the physician? So, if you do not see the deep thirst of your heart, the emptiness, the misery of sin, the guilt, you will not come to Christ. You're right. That's true. But it's not a condition that you would fulfill. It's true that that is the way in which God is leading people to come and kneel at the feet of Christ to be helped, to be washed, to receive the water of life for free. That's not a condition that we fulfill. No, that's the work of the Spirit. That's true. That's why we pray, O Lord, open my eyes. O Lord, draw me. But you know, that's also the work of the Lord Himself, to work that conviction. And be careful that you don't hide behind the thought, it's not deep enough, it's not good enough. No, it's never good enough. There's nothing that you can ever have that's good enough in yourself. You should look to Christ and to see Him, to see the Savior, to see Him crucified because of my sins, my pride, my depravity. Oh, that breaks my heart. It shows me my misery. I read the Word. I read the law of the Lord, that it would be a mirror to show myself. It's not a condition. The Lord is blessing those means to lead us and guide us. But, you know, the Lord Jesus, He is a prophet. He is not only a priest, He is also a prophet, which means He is a teacher. He is teaching all these things. It's all His work. Show my thirst, to make me aware of my misery, and that I will hear His voice, and let him that is athirst come. You are athirst. There is a deep void in your life. You need Christ, whether you see it or not. Believe this word of the Lord, that you are in deep need. You will die forever and ever if you don't find Christ today. You'll pass away before the new year starts. Another year has passed by. Did you come? Come to drink this living water? Let us sing before we continue. Let us sing Psalter 242, stanza 1 through 4. 242, stanza 1. Almighty God, Thy lofty throne has justice for its cornerstone. 242, stanza 1 through 4. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The water of life. So that we will not die. The water of life, it is a righteousness that Christ has provided freely. By grace. You cannot pay for it. You have nothing to pay. It's impossible. If we try to make ourselves good enough by working, by doing things, by trusting in what we perform, we are drinking from the muddy water that will kill us. But Christ has opened a fountain of water of life, and it's there in abundance. He has accomplished everything that God is demanding in His law. He has obeyed His Father. He has loved His Father above all, and His neighbor, mankind, like Himself. And He gave Himself upon the cross as a payment for sin. And as a fountain in His blood opened to wash our sin away. A fountain of water of life. And let him take the water of life freely. Maybe you say, well, it says, and whosoever will. Pastor, isn't it true that we do not want it? That is our nature, that we have that resistance against free grace, righteousness of someone else imputed to us? That there is such a strong resistance against to admit, to acknowledge that we cannot help ourselves, and that our righteousness is like filthy rags. That we are miserable beggars and poor sinners before God. We don't want that. We don't want to see that. We don't want to say that. Yeah, it says, and whosoever will, the pastor, my heart is unwilling. I'm glad you see it. You know, the Word is teaching us that God is changing hearts. We can say the will has its seat in the heart. Isn't that true? There's something in your life that you think about, children. Something that you would really want to have. You would love to have it. So that shows that something that has your heart. And so you will do what you can to get it. Or if there is something that you love to do, you enjoy in doing it. It's something that is in your heart, isn't it? So you will do it if you can. Because you enjoy to do it. You have a delight in it. You see that the will has its seat in the heart. Yeah, it's true. You're right. That will has to change. But read the Bible. Read those promises. I will take that heart of stone away and give you a heart of flesh, a living heart, beating with love for the Lord. It's a gift of God. So the Holy Spirit is changing hearts, is changing the will. It's not your work, but it's the work of the Lord. That's why there is such a hope where the gospel is preached and proclaimed. Because there is the power of God changing hearts. Is your heart unchanged tonight? How many times did you hear the word? How many times was the gospel preached to you? He said there are four invitations in this one verse of scripture. Come. 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 and take. It's about the coming of Christ, but it's also about the coming of a sinner to Christ before it is too late. How many times did you hear the gospel? You probably cannot count it. So many times. And your heart is still unchanged. You're still in the prison of sin. You're still caught in enmity against God. You're still captive in self-love. Oh, that's terrible. It's horrible. Oh, shame upon you. You should be ashamed before God. Oh, there's really a reason to break here and right now before the Holy God. How patient is God? How many years did He forbear you? And you're sitting here unconverted? Hard? Cold? Unbroken? No contrite spirit? Not convicted about your situation? You only think about this fact that the Lord was preaching the gospel so many times that you cannot even count it anymore. And you harden your heart. You continued your own way. Like a person walking in wrong direction toward his destruction. There's a real danger in front of that person. And someone is calling, "Hey, return, come back." And that person would just continue. And you cry and you explain and you... The person would just continue saying, "That's terrible. It's foolish. Why does this person not listen?" So that's your situation. You say, "But Pastor, I cannot change my heart." Be careful. Don't hide behind it. Be honest about yourself. See how you are before God. This is the last call of this year 2017. In this last chapter of the Bible. And it's so powerful. Come. Take. The water of life. You will die. You're a dying person. And here's a fountain open in Christ. Would you continue to resist this Savior? It's Christ Himself coming to you tonight in His Word, in the garment of His Word. You laid aside in unbelief. You say, "Yeah, but the Spirit is working irresistible." That's true. What a deep comfort it is. So, but don't hide. Don't hide behind any of those true doctrines of the Word. But come. Come tonight. At the feet of Christ. And just acknowledge all your misery and sin, your unbelief, and drink the water of life. It's the saving work of Christ revealed in the Word. It's a fountain here. It's open. It's here before you. It's proclaimed. It's fresh. It's pure. It's full of life. Remember the Samaritan woman. Maybe someone here is thinking, "Well, my sin is so bad. I'm so guilty. Oh, I despise myself. I'm so ashamed. It's not possible for me." Well, that's what the Jews thought. Probably also the Samaritans. About this woman. The Lord Jesus didn't think that. He didn't say that. She had 5 husbands and was living with a 6th man she was not married with. The Lord Jesus was calling her, inviting her. If you would know who is speaking to you, you would ask me for living water, and you would not be thirsty anymore. Is there someone still thinking that your sin is too bad? There's power in the blood of Christ to wash all your sin away. Everything you need is in Christ and revealed here in the Word of God. Don't take anything away from this Word of God. There's a serious warning here. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city from the things which are written in the book. Oh, I'm not doing that. I'll certainly not do that. No, I believe the whole Bible. Do you? Do you? And did you not flee to Christ? I'm sure you've been tearing out some pages of the Bible. Many. I think you have a very thin Bible left over. Maybe you did add something. Maybe something like, well, it's possible for other people, but not for me. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Here's a fountain of life of water in the Bible. It's revealing Christ, Savior. And maybe someone says, to be honest, Pastor, I love sin. It gives me such a pleasure. I wouldn't say that to anybody, but that's reality in my life. I'm a person of this world. I love the things of this world more and the sinful way of life, the flesh, my old nature. Oh, I find delight in obeying sin in my life. Oh, that's something to think about. In the light of this word, there's such a powerful warning here in this scripture part. For without are dogs, unclean creatures, those that are unclean in their way of life before the holy God. I want to continue in that. Without are dogs and sorcerers, those that find power not in the Lord, anywhere else, in darkness. And warmongers, those that live in sexual impurity and want to continue in that way of life, they love that uncleanness, that impurity, that pleasure of sin. And murderers, those that keep envy and hate in their hearts and kill their neighbor in their mind or even in their words, murderers and idolaters, those that give glory, that worship other people, other creatures, other things more than God. Idolaters, those that trust more in anything than in God, pay more attention to anything in this world than to God. Without or whosoever loveth and maketh a lie, liars, those that love the lie instead of the truth of God, love the lie that, oh, I'm fine, I don't know Christ, but I'm not so bad, I live a pretty good life. You know, I'm not as bad as other people, so I will be fine in the day of judgment. You love the lie. You make a lie. And you will die with a lie in your right hand. outside, without dogs, sorcerers, warmongers, murderers, idolaters, whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Those that want to continue in this way of life, I tell you, I have to preach you tonight, you will be without. If you don't repent, if you don't repent and don't delay, we don't know if there will be a new day, a new year. Oh, there is a call to you tonight, come. Okay, bring all your sin, all your love of sin. Take it all and bring it at the feet of Christ. He knows how to deal with it. He's changing hearts in the will. And there's power in the blood of Christ to wash your sin away and to work a delight in the Lord in your heart so that you will cry, come. Lord Jesus, come. And that you will cry to others in this world, oh come. I found a Savior. He has washed my sin away. So there's power in His blood to wash all your sin away as well. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, a last call. It might be the last call of our lives. We don't know that. So fragile. Lord, Thou would take our breath away, we die. Thou would take the spirit away, our spirit, we will die. Lord, we don't know if there will be another minute, another hour, another day, another year. We do know that Christ has given His life. There is a river pure and full of water of life for dying sinners to drink, to repent, to believe, to confess, to trust in this Savior to be saved, to have eternal life, real joy in knowing Thee, in knowing Christ, here by faith, on that grey day, by sight, forever, not disturbed anymore, nothing lacking anymore. Lord, if you don't know Christ, we are dead, spiritually dead. Oh Lord, work life in our hearts. Thou hast power to do that. Like Thou hast promised, dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those that hear will live. The voice of Christ, like Christ was calling Lazarus out of the grave. Lazarus, come out, and he came. Oh Lord, bless Thy word. There's nothing that we can do, O Lord, to make ourselves acceptable. But Christ has done everything. To rest upon Him as that firm and lasting foundation, that rock of ages. We pray, Lord, be with us when we leave this year behind. Oh, keep us to start a new year, O Lord, that we may live to Thy glory, to give Thee the praise and the honor, like Thou art worthy to receive. Lord, keep us when we go home on the dangerous routes. Keep us this night. Bring us together in Thy house tomorrow morning. to hear thy voice. Lord, we pray. Not that we deserve, but do it for Christ's sake, in his name. We pray. Amen.